Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! Woo-hoo! Yeah! It's full Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper thing!
And that is where we realize now that traveling is the most intense way of learning. It has always been. And it has always been, if you go to places, if you go to rural places, it has always been a two-way learning.
This is episode number 17 with Prerna Kapoor and Ashutosh Jha of Carwan.
You're about to enter the Akyong Podcast.
Akyong Podcast.
India's first and very own architecture podcast, where you'll hear the insights, experiences, and journeys from India's leading architects. No matter what your skill level is, together we'll build on our knowledge and share architecture's greatest stories ever told. Now, here's your host, Manish Paul Simon.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of the Akyong Podcast. Today, I'm excited to share with you the story of this awesome initiative called Carwan, an intensive architectural travel program founded by a pool of graduates from the architecture and planning departments of IIT Roorkee. They go by the names of Ashutosh Jha, Gaurav Goel, Kishle Kishore, and Mayank Singhal. And today we have Ashutosh and Prerna Kapoor, two of the co-partners right now, sharing the Carwan journey. Before we get to the episode, let me just give you a small brief on what Carwan is all about. For the past 5 years, they have been curating 10 to 15 day itineraries, hands-on workshops, both domestic and outside India, focusing on primarily two schools of thought. And I quote, "What we are taught in the classrooms and what we can still learn from people practicing the same in our nation." Stop quote. Half a decade later, they have collaborated with prominent architects, institutes, and traveled with more than 500 plus students and professionals from all over the country. They have also conducted 30 plus lectures and workshops and illustrated architectural diversity of three different countries. That's quite a feat in a small span of time, so hats off to you guys. And for those of you wondering what the word Carwan is all about, it is essentially an Urdu word which is used for a convoy or a group of travelers. On this episode, you will get to listen to how Carwan began, their first official mega trip. Yes, it was a pretty big trip. The various challenges they had to overcome, the goals and visions behind starting Carwan, showcasing rural techniques to the general public, why Nagaland is not a dangerous place and a great destination to travel to, what they have in store for us in the future, and lots, lots more. You get all the show notes and links on akyan.com/17. Plus, they have a lot of exciting trips lined up this year. You can also go to their website, which is carwan.com. That is K-A-R-W-A-N.com. Alright, that's enough for the intro. Let's get right to the episode and listen to some really cool, interesting stories what Ashutosh and Prerna have to share. We begin by getting into how these guys got into architecture. Let's go.
Okay, so I think for me, both Ashutosh and me, things worked out in a very opposite manner. For me, from a very initial stage in my life, I understood the fact that I wanted to pursue architecture. And when I finally got into an architecture school and understood the technicalities of it, I realized sooner that I liked the idea of, you know, making a state-of-an-art building more than, you know, getting into it and doing the construction drawings and then, you know, adhering to the timelines. So I, over my college days also, I realized that I liked more about writing about architecture and observing architecture and the experiences that goes behind, you know, constructing a building more than constructing an actual building. And so that's how my journey, you know, started drifting towards writing more about architectural journalism. And so the idea of architecture stayed with me, but not the construction part, but in another way, absolutely.
Awesome, that's brilliant. And how about you, Ashutosh?
Okay, so I was brought up in a place called Vasind, that is in the outskirts of Mumbai. And my parents always wanted me to be an IITian, okay? And at that time, Mumbai did not have many coaching classes and all these things that they have right now, okay? So I was sent to Delhi for a year. I just wanted to be an IITian, okay? So I did not have any preference over what stream I had to go into. And only one of my friends by that time had gone into IIT. He was pursuing architecture in IIT Roorkee. And he had he spoke very well about the culture there, about the department, about placement, everything, okay? That was of concern to me. So that was, it was kind of fate that got me into architecture.
Over the years, I guess you started liking architecture, right?
Yes, I did. I was good at drawing. So it started with that, and then I fell in love with everything.
Awesome.
I don't think he would say it, but yeah, he was among the top five of the batch.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's brilliant.
He ended up being there.
All right. So let's get to the meat of this episode, which is all about Carvaan. Give us a brief history of how this awesome initiative Carvaan began.
Okay, so this was back in 2014 when we stayed back in our hostel for the summer vacation. Okay,
yeah.
Most of our friends were doing internships. I had done my internship in third year, and I was working on two research papers with our faculties in civil department and architecture department. Okay, so I was in the hostel with a couple of my friends. So it was one of those boring nights when we did not have electricity, and the conversation went on very intense. We were discussing politics, education system, and all those things. And then we were like, okay, there's nothing that we are doing after graduating from such colleges and prestigious institutes. So we should do something. So doing something involves understanding the problems. Understanding problem involves travel. For travel, you need money. So it was all these conversations that boiled down to, okay, let's travel the country. And to travel the country, we'll need money. So we realized that the one thing that we were good at that time was organizing these trips. Okay, so right. We were the ones who organized our NASA trips, like it with documentation ones. So we were able to do those documentation on a very budget rate. Okay, so we are good at that. So we thought, okay, let's organize a workshop lecture kind of a travel thing, and then we'll earn from it, and then we'll travel ourselves. Okay. So okay. That was the whole idea when we started. So it has changed. We have added layers and layers on it. But that was how it started back then.
And how many of y'all were there during this time? Even Prerna, I guess, must have been part of
it. No, interestingly, actually, the trip that he's talking about in 2014, I was a participant with them back then.
Okay.
So I started out with Carvaan as a participant, and they were four of them who started out with this idea. But actually, it was their entire batch who supported them,
right.
Which is, I think Ashutosh will be able to tell more about this experience.
So we were, myself, Gaurav Goyal, Kishle Kishore, and Mayank Singhal, the four of us when we started. Prerna was a past participant for the first 3 years, okay? And then she was not there on the first trip in the fourth year. And then we realized that we are missing something, okay? So we had to have her. We got her on board. And when we started, we were just the four of us. But we started with a campaign which had a theme of Aaj Ka Sach. So our professors, classmates, everyone helped us in this. Okay, so everyone realized that we wanted to do something that we are not thinking of, or we not have that the capability. So they helped us in every manner, financially. Professors helped us in reaching out to architects, to organizations. So everyone around us helped us that time.
So this was during your bachelor's, right? So how did you manage your time and also do the initiative on the side? Because thesis, I'm guessing, in IITs is also a little intense, right?
Yes, so this was our thesis semester when we were planning for Carvaan. So I don't think I did very good on my thesis. So, but
it was also my thesis year when I started, when I went for my first trip. So it all started in the crucial years.
Yes, so we were just 6 months away from getting out of college. So that was the time when we had to do something. Once we got out of college for training or got a job, it would have been very difficult to like get together and be able to do such thing. So we thought like these are the 6 months that we'll need to work hard and need to do whatever we have to. So we gave everything we had. We rarely attended our lectures. So and just the thesis that we just wanted to be like, we just wanted to graduate. Okay, we did like work hard for thesis as well, but we would have worked better. So
all right. So your first trip was during your bachelor's. So give us a small brief on your first trip, first official trip of Carvan.
So when we started, we were like, when we were 2022, that time we had like immense confidence. Okay, we do not have that much confidence nowadays. Okay. Nowadays we are very, we like we take care of everything. We like we check what are the risks, what are the like what can be the possibilities of mishappenings that can happen. That time we were like, we did not like give a thing or two about one anything that could have happened in the future. Okay, so we were very brave back then to say. So we started out planning this 15-day workshop, and we ended it spreading out to 17 days. Okay, we asked them to pay for only 15 days, but we had to manage 17 days. We were like over ambitious back then.
Yeah.
And started from Delhi, and we covered 7 states. Okay, so this itinerary was the most rigorous one till date. Okay, we started from Delhi, we went to Bhopal, MP, then Gujarat, Ahmedabad, Champaner, Vadodara, Bhuj, Rajasthan, Jaisalmer, then Bikaner, then we went to Amritsar, Chandigarh, Garli, Paragpur.
Wow.
And then Bir, Dharmad.
This seems endless.
Rishikesh, and then we ended it back in Delhi. So these were like, we traveled almost every alternate day for complete 24 hours. Like, we did not sleep at night. We were in buses or trains.
So
every alternate.
I'm guessing most of your people who came along with you were students.
Yes, most of them were students. Only a couple were graduates, and like, we were kids back then. So it was very difficult for us to, like, we were not ready to, like, organize or manage people who were senior to us. But it was like really good. They were very helpful.
Basically, when he said rigorous, he actually meant it's because me being a participant on that trip, I remember that even like after 5 years of, you know, traveling so much and going to a lot of places, when we think about that trip, we just think that we just pulled off a great trip, which now can be actually divided in 3 to 4 itineraries in itself.
That one mega trip, right?
Yes.
But how did you manage? Was it like on the go and you were just deciding, okay, let's go here, let's go there? Or was it that you pre-planned everything from the start?
Yes, we had everything planned. So we had our itinerary released like a couple of months before the trip. So as soon as our thesis finished, we set it aside. Like the four of us, we divided ourselves in 2 groups and we started for the wrecking. So we spent the complete half month of December and January wrecking all these places. So we visited each of the architects, each of the institutions. We made the like bookings for the hotels, for homestays ourselves. We visited each and every place. We decided where we'll eat lunch. Like we decided things to that detail.
Awesome.
So everything was almost planned, but then there were many challenges that we realized after we finalized and after we were on the trip.
But since this was out of passion, how did you guys manage the funding, or did you break even, or what is the scenario there?
Yes, right now we are profitable. Back then when we started, we did not have like any funding. So this was mostly out of our pocket, our family and friends. So there were many friends who helped us. Right. We took loans from them and we were able to clear it after the first trip. So we made like railway tickets, all these bookings from their money, and then we paid them back.
Also, Manish, interestingly, when this trip was organized, when I was a participant, so when we were discussing it with them, like, will you guys be doing this again? So these guys didn't have a concrete answer to it because they did all of this out of passion, and it was the adrenaline rush in all four of them, and they didn't know if they like if they will be able to repeat the same thing or will they will be introducing another thing. So the idea of repeating or sticking to what Carva had, had an impact on the students who were there for 15 days. I think none of us on the trip actually realized at the beginning of the tour.
Awesome.
I'd like to add upon like some of the challenges like what that we faced in our initial years. Actually, mm-hmm.
Sure,
the first trip actually. So at that time we were kids. Okay, so it was very difficult convincing our faculties first to us to go on this trip at our intern period. So that time was our training period when we were supposed to do our 4 months training.
Okay.
So at that time we did this trip and after that we completed our training. Okay. So that was one part. Other than that, there were parents who called because there were kids traveling with us who are 20 years old and their family, they are thinking that these are faculties from
part
IIT Roorkee for organizing this. But we were students and once they started talking to us, we had to convince them. Each parent we had to convince differently.
So how did you convince the parents?
So the brand of IIT did something. So we had a few faculty members who were helping us. Like they help us to this day as mentors. So we had them talk to them. Then we showed them that we have made like all the bookings, everything is taken care of. And like we have like meal organizers too with us. We are four of us and like enough of us to take care. We'll be having, we showed them like whatever they wanted to see. Yeah. So that was how it went back then. And
but what was the goal or mindset behind starting this initiative? Was it because of some experience you had in college or that you wanted to maybe empower architecture students and professionals in your country?
So we have one of our videos that shows our vision, like what we thought of when we started this. So the idea was there are still many problems that can be solved by architects. Okay. So when you see any statistical data of India, it's like it's not complete unless you show it for rural India and urban India. There's this very huge divide. Okay. So there's no one fact that is true for all of India.
Mm-hmm.
So this very huge divide and many problems that are that people are facing in urban area, which has their solution in rural areas. Okay.
Right.
So we wanted people to solve this problems. Okay, actually, but you cannot solve a problem unless you identify them. So our idea was we'll travel with these students, we'll try to identify problems and come up with solutions while we are on this journey, on this 15 days, because we are around 30 to 40 of us, each from a different background, different city. Everyone has their own ideas, own perspective towards a problem. So that was the idea. So we can come up with solutions, identify the problems, and then maybe not today, we might not be capable of, or the students might not be capable of solving these today, but maybe later, 10 years down the line, when they are capable of doing this, they'll come back and maybe do something. So that is the whole idea of us.
I think there have been examples of this as well, that there have been participants who were with us on a few trips. We went to Nagaland for our 15 days workshop, and two of our participants came back to the architect that we had the workshop with, and they interned with them for 6-7 months. So that is where we realize now that traveling is the most intense way of learning. It has always been, and it has always been if you go to places, if you go to rural places, it has always been a two-way learning instead of you teaching them.
So
how to
even the local community also
absolutely yeah. Absolutely. So there is so much to learn from them, not just in terms of construction only, that is there absolutely, but in terms of culture, in terms of honesty about living your life. So there's the craftsmen, the communities, the designers, architects. So everyone has too much to offer when you are traveling. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on how much you can absorb by the end of the trip.
Awesome. So you guys spoke about these various solutions and all that, right? And how your students or architects are going back and implementing those learnings. So could you give us more examples on this?
Sure. So I'll take you back to year 2016. So these guys after the first tour went to Nagaland for their internship, and they discussed this idea with an architect. His name is Mr. Architect Richard Bellu, and he's a very famous bamboo architect in India. So he stays in Nagaland, and we discussed the idea with him. And so he actually supported us to do the second itinerary and to bring students to Nagaland. There we had a bamboo workshop, where we started with a site which required the structure that we were going to build. It was not just because we are having a workshop, so we'll just build something. We had it in our mind that it will be used for something as well.
Okay.
So we started off with the bamboo making techniques, and that is how actually all the major structures start when you're working with bamboo. If you can work with a bamboo model initially on scale, on the point, then making the structure just becomes like two folds easier. So we focused on doing the model making first, and then implementing the structure for another 3 days, and learning about how the joineries are done, and the nut and screws are done, or different kind of joineries in terms of bamboo.
So it was all hands on.
Handle. All hands on.
So it is like when you when I have worked on some projects here in Mumbai. So here, when they're building a bamboo structure, they have their plans and elevations, all those things. Okay.
Right.
And then there's a contractor. When they're working with bamboo here in Mumbai, around Mumbai, so they have these plans, elevations, and all these things. And the contractor then understands from them and then builds it. But we saw they did not have plans and elevations for any bamboo structure. They made a small bamboo models, okay? And the contractor just had that model. He could build this whole structure without even communicating once.
Oh, wow.
And that structure could be like very precise to the... He did not like ask for joineries, how should be the joining. Because when you make a model, it has all those joineries. Like with every detail, each and every detail. So that was one thing that we have been using after that. We first make a model and then give it to the contractor, and then he can build it on the site.
Brilliant. So that's a skill set which is very native to these particular places, right? So how is Karwan, maybe through documentation, bringing that back to the society, the larger society in general?
So right now we are like trying to arrange, like organize workshops in colleges as well.
Okay.
And we have our own channel where we publish our video. We publish our journals, and so that right now we are trying to do it with that. Other than that, the main thing that we are doing is we are traveling. So every time there is something different to learn from. So we take them and then we do it while we travel.
Okay. And when did you guys start developing your social media handles and getting more people to the initiative?
So, talking about the social media handle, so it was, uploading whatever we were doing, it was in the age we are in, social media is the most important tool right now there. So I came to know about Karma through one of the Facebook pages.
Okay.
It has shifted. So that time we used to have more people come to us through Facebook. Now we have it through Instagram.
Yeah.
So that has changed. The platforms have changed.
So we are very active on our social media handles, and so anyone who wants to get in touch with us, our website is absolutely there. But our Instagram handle or our Facebook handle, we have more than 12,000 followers, 12 to 15,000 followers on like all the social media handles combined. So yeah, we have a good following there, and there are a lot of masses who are following us. But also, it has to be the right kind of mass. It can't be. Actually, when I'm saying the right kind, now that we're venturing into, organizing tours for more people and more of more other age groups as well. So we have come to realize that it's not just the architecture students that we should be restricting ourselves to. We should be expanding a bandwidth as well in terms of organizing it for maybe just a woman-oriented trip with a cause maybe.
Oh,
so these kinds of thought are, it's more of brainstorming right now, But I think sooner or later we'll get into something where we can reach out to more people, and you know, through traveling we can learn together.
Right. And Carvan is also affiliated with various institutions and colleges, right?
Yes. So these are not very official like collaborations, but like we do many things together with these institutions.
So you approach
it's more like a tie-up with for one workshop or it depends on a particular workshop that we're working on and what are the needs of that workshop or the tour. And we get in contact, we get in touch with all the people that, so we, over the years, we have you know, made a good network with the other architects and people as well who are conducting the workshops. So it's more on the basis of what is the requirement of the particular trip.
All right. And how does someone register for Carvan trip?
So on our website, whenever we launch a workshop, so we put it on our website. So we have a small questionnaire, 3-question questionnaire every time. So you just need to log in on our website. You can do that using your email address or through your Gmail. And then you have to fill in your personal details, very basic things. And then there are 3 questions that you need to fill in and submit your answers. Okay. So and then we go through these answers and then we release the list of selected students.
Oh, so you select your students. You don't pick and choose.
Yes.
I mean, you don't pick everyone.
Hand-picked. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
You select them on the basis of their applications.
And this happens every 2 to 3 months.
Yes.
So for the till 2017, we actually did these tours annually, and then 2018 we wanted to push it to 2 trips in a year, and we ended up doing 4 trips in that year, and now we're just hoping, you know, to collaborate with a lot more people, a lot more colleges, and let's see where this year goes. What we have no number in our mind right now.
Right. So 4 trips per year seems pretty less, right? So are you guys doing this full time, or is it like
we have just recently started doing this full time?
Right.
So this December we started doing this full time after we were able to pull 4 trips, because we realized that there is a market, there are people who still want to come travel with us, and we are not able to take them. So it needs our full attention, and then starting this year we started this doing this full time.
Awesome. And what are some future Carvan trips that our listeners should look forward to?
So, you know, through our research and experimentation, we have realized that all the colleges in India do not have their holidays all at the same time. So, dividing into the regions, west and north and central, south and all that area. So, we have realized that there are two segments throughout the year, which is one between the May, June and July segment, and the other one is during the September, October time, where students are mostly free and they can you know, travel with us. So we are already doing 1 trip in May to Spiti, and we have a workshop planned there for mud architecture and Khatkuni architecture, and
awesome.
We'll be traveling all through the Spiti Valley, and then we'll be concluding it in Shimla with another lecture concluding about the various, you know, the kind of architecture you see around in Himachal and the differences in them. And then we are also planning to launch another trip in the month of June. Beyond that, we have not planned as of now, but yeah, there will be more stuff coming in September and October. When it comes to December, they're mostly the colleges that takes the tours, like the students goes with the college because of the curriculum.
But what about us architects? Yeah, we also would like to travel.
So when I mentioned about you know, catering to the other segment of the society also, this is what I meant. And this is actually one of the feedback that we have got from a lot more people that we have collaborated with. So
right.
They are professional architects practicing from like 10 years, decade, more than decade. And we are thinking about doing, you know, organizing maybe an annual tour with the professionals of the country and interacting with them, and it'll be more of, you know, travel and interaction. So that is still on, you know, we're still thinking about it, and soon we'll have something for them as well.
Awesome. And Ashutosh, you also had something to say, right?
I was talking about the trip that our listeners can look forward to. So we'll be planning one Bhutan, Nagaland and a Sri Lanka trip definitely this year. So these three are definitely going to be there in coming soon, like in a couple of months.
Okay. And I mean, a lot of people have this preconceived notion that Nagaland is a dangerous place, right? Is that true as per your experience?
No, not at all. I have been there more than four times. I have stayed there for more than 4 to 5 months. And it's a very beautiful place. People there are very caring, very loving. So there is nothing of that sort. Okay, there is army military movement every now and then. But that does not include it. Everything is okay, just like any other city.
If you may allow, Manish, can I just quote an experience of mine from I had in Nagaland?
Sure, go ahead.
So I was a participant back then, and we stayed in this place called Eco Village in Chipama. It's somewhere between Dimapur and Kohima, and we had a workshop there. So we just went up to the reception, and I saw a packet of chips there. And so I took the packet of chips, and there was a lady sitting there. I asked her who to, you know, give the money to. So she just told me to keep the money on the table, and the person will take it, the money belongs to, he'll take the money, you just keep it on the table. So the level of honesty and the level of, being rooted to your cultures and tradition is something I personally have learned a lot from going to Nagaland now, maybe 3 or 4 times we have been there. And I absolutely love that. So all these preconceived notions about northeastern states are not actually true. So it's a beautiful state, and I think everyone should visit it.
Brilliant. It's great to hear that, Prerna. I hope a lot of more people go to visit Northeast India.
Absolutely.
Coming to your personal experiences, like you've been running this for more than 5 years, right? Give us your most memorable experience running Carvan, both of you.
So I think I know about Ashutosh more. I think the trip to Nepal where you guys had to walk, I think Ashutosh, you should tell them about that.
Oh, this was in 2018. Okay. So we were trekking to a place called Patle Kharka. That's in Nepal. So it was a 25-kilometer trek that had to start at around 6 in the morning. But we started it at 11. And we had just had our breakfast, nothing else. And all 20 plus of us, we started walking. And we were told that it will only take 2 to 3 hours. That is what people in the hill areas do.
Right.
They say that it will take 2 to 3 hours, but it takes like 10 hours.
Maybe. Oh my gosh.
2 to 3 hours for them like is around 10 to 12 hours for us. Okay. So that trip, we started at around 11 and we reached there at around 12. Okay. That took us more than 12 hours. And that was just 2 to 3 hours for them. Okay. And we not had our breakfast. We were like walking between villages. And we did not know where we are going. Okay. So that was the first time even I was going. So I had not visited that place before. But the students that were with us, they had like too much trust in us. They did not complain of anything or any such thing. And they did not eat food. But that made us bond like really far. So that 25 kilometers,
and it was more of an adventure, right?
Yeah, that was more of an adventure. Like in the evening, it was like, okay, let's not move ahead. Let's sit here. This looks very beautiful. The moon in the sky. Then there's this water flowing from beside us. Let's stop here. And then because we had like we had a village, and then there was no human being for the next 2 hours. And then we would small settlement with around 4 to 5 houses. Okay, so that was actually a place in Arugarh district, Patle Kharka, and it was the school there was destroyed by the Nepal earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this community called Chaya Nepal. It's an Austrian organization. So mm-hmm. they were building the school over there.
Okay.
So we traveled with them, and that was to understand how they are like constructing these things and how they are empowering the people over there. So we stayed with them, with the people over there. For most of us, it was like waking up in the morning. So we were there for around 3 days. no one took bath for these 3 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for most of us, it was like waking up in the morning, going to any random house in the village, using the washroom, and then they'll offer us tea. Okay. So everyone in the village knew that we have come, and everyone was like, everyone, they were very welcoming. We were provided with a breakfast tea at any house. Okay. We used to go and visit a particular house, use the washroom, freshen up, and then they would provide us tea and everything. Oh, wow. It was very beautiful. That was a very small village. We stayed with them. We stayed in the classrooms and in some of their houses for those people. It was really beautiful.
I think the Nepal initiatives in rebuilding most of Nepal up post the earthquake is pretty commendable, to say the least. Right?
Yes, yes, definitely.
And how about you, Prerna? Did you have any?
You know, the first time is always the favorite time. I would not say anything about that. But we went to Spiti last year in September. And we had planned the entire trip. And just 3 days before, we had to start our journey. And it was predicted, heavy rainfall was predicted. So I started out from Delhi coming to Chandigarh, which was our starting point. And since the time all of us started from Chandigarh, it didn't stop raining at all. We reached Shimla, we reached Kalpa. So by the time we reached Kalpa, it started snowing in, you know, the higher altitudes. And a lot of routes where we had to go, a lot of villages where we had to be, were closed. The roads were closed. And in fact, we had a workshop planned. So all the people, in fact, in the entire crew who had to conduct the workshop was stuck in Manali because of the snowfall, and the roads were closed. And we came to one point. Also over a period of, you know, when you spend so much time with people around you, and you don't have you know, networks in your phone, and you don't have distractions, so the only thing you have you know, to rely on are the people you are traveling with. And you tend to bond with them so much that you don't even realize that after 15 days a few of them cry that they're leaving each other. There was this one point where the road to Kaza, someone called up and told us that it was open. So we thought that let's skip our lunch and go there so that we could, you know, make up for the journey that we could not do because of the all the roads that were closed. We reached there and we realized it is still closed. And we were, you know, still early there. There were people who were there. They had, you know, set up their tent. There was a barren field, and they have set up their tent because there's no way out. And we came to a point where we realized that we are short on food. But at that point, when we realized, everyone in the bus, we had two tempo travelers with us, everyone who had even a, you know, a candy in their pocket, shared it with everyone else. And that moment I realized that, you know, it is so much to learn also from the people you are traveling with. And also at the same time, I learned that you can do nothing, absolutely nothing, when the nature is not in the favor of your itinerary.
Yeah.
So the best you can do is just, you know, be in the flow of what the nature wants you to do and not do anything against it. So these are the two major learnings that I took back with me last year. And ever since, you know, I have just, the understanding of, you know, things around me, as basic as water, as food, it just, you know, I feel every time I'm eating my food, it's not that I'm taking it for granted. I value it, and I know that it should not be taken for granted anymore.
I feel that Karwan trips are pretty challenging, and that you should also have a fitness test in your preliminary.
If that comes across, we'll be the first one to lose it, absolutely.
All right. So what are some of your goals or future plans for this great initiative?
So we absolutely want to expand the idea of learning while traveling to everyone we can. And there have been people from filmmaking background, from photography background, who have traveled with us. And we just want to spread the idea everywhere we can. Of course, in a wiser way now. It's not just the adrenal rush that is going through the ideas. It is much more, thought over. But yeah, yes, that's the... And right now we are actually, catering to the age group of 18 to 32. But that's not because of... The only reason behind that is if an 18-year-old is traveling with us, and if we increase the age limit to, let's say, 45, so the difference in their opinion about the same thing would be opposite, and that is we truly don't know that if they'll be able to absorb it or not.
Yeah.
So we want to stick to a very we are sticking to a very limited age group right now. But yes, absolutely, we are looking to expand it to all the age groups, and we are looking to expand it to everywhere we could and empower everyone who is a part of the trip. And today Karwa is not just four or five of us, it's everyone who has been with us through the journey, or everyone who have met throughout the journey. It's everyone.
And one other thing that we are like planning to do in the future is, right now we are visiting people who have set up these centers in villages in rural areas where they are empowering the local people and they are using the vernacular techniques. Okay, so our plan is to set up such centers in the future, okay, in these villages where we know of a particular technique that can be taught to everyone, that should be shared with the world. So we want to set up such small workshops in these villages.
So in essence, Karwan would be an institution for traveling architects and the general public as well.
Yes,
that's what we aim to do. Yeah.
All right. And coming to a close, do you have any tips, traveling tips for young architects out there, or also some advice as well?
We just keep saying it to everyone on every trip, before every trip, that you should always travel light. Always. Because you have no idea what kind of terrain that you will be going to, and what will be the situations there. The luxury is not a part of what we offer in our trips. And it's also, it does not mean that it will be all things that will make things difficult for you. But yes, always travel light, as light as you can. And it's also the thing that we abide by. We keep saying that be a traveler and not a tourist. So just look around, talk to people, absorb as much as you can.
And there's this one more thing. I don't know who said it first, but Gaurav keeps repeating every time that it's not about the place, it's about the people. So you need to interact with people and talk to everyone you're traveling with the people you are visiting, to each and everyone. So that is one thing that we always promote, that you should talk to people more and more when you're every time, actually. But while you're traveling, talk to everyone. That is the best way of learning.
It's just a way of experiencing their life through their stories, and it's at the end you just have a beautiful idea about what someone did in some situation and how they got out of it, or anything. You have no idea what could be learned from the stories that are still you have no idea about, and it can only be done through talking to people and connecting with them.
You've been listening to the Ak Young Podcast. We're still building the community. Please share this knowledge with someone you know who could benefit. Just send them to akyoung.com, where you'll find our free newsletter. And for more podcast episodes, search for the show on any major podcasting platform. Don't forget to subscribe where you're listening right now. And if you liked it, leave a rating or review.
Running a medical practice is complex, but you don't have to go it alone. When you join the Medical Group Management Association, you get access to an entire team of healthcare business experts, plus thousands of other members in practice management who face the same challenges as you. MGMA helps you advance in your career and helps your practice operate more efficiently and stay compliant. Join now and get exclusive access to our brand new 2025 Provider Compensation Report. Sign up today. This report is available to MGMA members only. Join today at MGMA.com.